his praise. Sing about his amazing grace. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Let's sing that together.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Who shakes the whole earth?
Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory.
See you in the Lord's house this morning. Turn around and greet someone. Welcome them to Central, especially our guests. Make them welcome this morning. This morning, ladies, if you will lead us, whom shall I fear?
Love, you are my morning song. Thank you, Daryl and choir. We thank you for leading us in these songs of praise and worship, reminding us of God's greatness and his goodness to us. It's good to see you here today. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for just allowing us to gather in your name today. We thank you for our church family and friends who have gathered here today with us to worship you. Lord, may you just help us just to direct our hearts and free us of the things that would distract us so that truly today, Lord, we can experience you in fresh new ways. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We do welcome you. We're glad to have you here with us. If you're our guest, we want to give you a special welcome. Ask you to do us a favor. Fill out one of the connection cards on the pews in front of you. Members, you can always use those same cards to give us updates on phone numbers or addresses or any other prayer requests that you may have. We love it when you correspond with us that way. It helps us just stay in touch with what's going on in your life. And for our guest, we have a gift for you at one of the area welcome centers at each end of the building. As you exit the building today, please come by and say hello and let us get to know you a little bit better. We're so thankful that God continues just to do wonderful things in our life and the life of our church. I know we've got a big day at Central today. We'll have an ordination and communion service tonight. And so we hope you'll be mindful of that and join us even for our evening services as we gather together. Our pastor is going to continue the series on Psalms. He's going to be talking about overcoming fear from the life of David today. It's a wonderful sermon. I had the privilege of being in the first service, and I'm not going nowhere. I'm going to hear it again, okay? I'm going to be here with you for the second service. But a little nugget of truth that I'm reminded even from the New Testament, when God talked to Timothy about this, trying to encourage his young servant, and he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." We have a God who is there for us to help us overcome anything in life that we're struggling with, and we're looking forward to the Word of God this morning. Let's continue now to sing praises to our Lord with Brother Daryl and the choir.
Our defender, our strong tower, our Savior this morning. He is near to the broken.
He is near to the broken.
There is help for the hopeless, for the moon.
continue to worship our Savior, our King, Christ alone. My hope is found. Let's sing this hymn together, hymn of praise.
Yeah.
Aren't you thankful today that we can depend on Jesus Christ and we can stand in the truth of his payment for our sin? And our worth and our value is all wrapped up in who Jesus Christ is. Today, as we worship through giving, we want to make you aware of the ministry of Jeffrey and Lauren Jones. They are preparing and to go to Bosnia later this year and serve as missionaries there. We're supporting them. You're helping do that. We want you to become more aware of what God has called them to do and what they are going to be doing there. So while we worship through giving, you watch this video. And in your worship guide, you should have had a form that has that you can fill out, that you can leave either in the offering plate or on the pew, or stop by their display table in the foyer and you can join a mailing list and get more information about their work or other ways you can support them. So be encouraged and thank you for your giving to the church that helps us send missionaries not only to Bosnia but around the world and to do ministry here in Conway. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came to earth and paid the price and satisfied your wrath against us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. My hope and my prayer is today that if there's someone here who has never heard about the forgiveness of sins that comes through Jesus Christ, they will hear it today and they will trust in him. God, I pray for all of us that we will be changed, we'll be encouraged by your word. Bless those who are faithful and obedient to return to you a portion of what you've given them. May we be wise stewards of it to proclaim the name of Christ here and around the world. Speak to us through song. Challenge us and change us through the message. And we'll be careful to give Christ all the glory. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
To Bosnia now, where American forces continue to separate ethnic rivals across
the fighting raged anew in the former Yugoslav Republic of Bosnia-Herzegovina today.
For more than 2 months now, Sarajevo has been under siege.
We long to see the peoples of Bosnia knowing and worshiping God.
We aim to glorify him by multiplying disciples of Jesus throughout Bosnia.
We want to catalyze a uniquely Bosnian movement of reproducing churches by equipping Bosnian believers with simple, biblical principles for making obedient disciples of Jesus.
Our vision is to see no place left in these regions without access to the gospel of Christ. This isn't something we can do alone. We need you to come alongside us and walk this journey with us. We need you to pray for us. We need you to partner with us financially. We need you.
change. You are the God you say you are when I'm afraid. You calm and still my beating heart. You stay the same. When hope is just a distant thought, you take my pain. And you lead me to the cross. What love is this that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you? And I confess you're always enough for me. You're all I need. I look to you. I see those scars upon your hands and hold the truth. I'm standing here beneath the shadow of the cross. I'm overwhelmed that I keep finding open arms. What love is this that you gave your life for me?
My offering.
options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't fake what's left to do. Truth is I'm strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I tried, but still my soul refuses to die. Ooh, one touch, it will change my torn in pieces. It's my offering displayed at the throne, and leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you this song. Truth torn in pieces, it's my offering.
you have your Bible this morning, Psalm 27, the first six verses. The 27th division of the Psalms, verses 1 through 6. Most scholars believe that David wrote this psalm when he was being pursued by Absalom, his son, when Absalom created a coup in the land and tried to overthrow the ministry and the kingship of David. One thing is for sure, David spent as much time in caves as he did on the throne. He spent as much time running from trouble as he did enjoying the blessings and the goodness of God. And yet, in the midst of difficulty, when times are tough and things look bad, and fear is the average among humanity, David seems to rise to the occasion where he is a worshiper and one who trusts in God and one who overcomes. Fear can paralyze. Fear is a destroyer. Fear makes the strong weak. Fear makes all of us forget the pleasure, promise, provision, and protection of our great God. And someone always says, well, you just need to have faith. But faith in faith is of no value. Faith in circumstances improving because of your effort and your trying is of no value. Faith has no value on its own. It must connect us to Jesus Christ. And the kind of faith David sees that overcomes fear is a faith that looks to Christ, the author and the finisher of his faith. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh and adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Father, a number of us came to this service today struggling in one way or another. Some with physical illnesses, some with emotional and mental troubles, some with spiritual apathy and unconcern. So I pray that you would turn our hearts and our minds upon Christ Jesus, that that which we fear would become faith in you, that we'd be able to press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus our Lord, that the author and the finisher of our faith would capture our soul and spirit, and that we'd look to Jesus, lift our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help. And like David of old, that when fear comes to knock, we would send faith to the door and no one be present. I ask this in Jesus' name this morning. Amen and amen. Well, you're either fighting the good fight or you're failing in the battle. You're either full of faith or you're fixed on your fears. You're trusting this morning or you're trembling. you have great confidence, or hidden underneath all of that personality and performance, you're a coward. You cannot be one and the other. You are one or the other. And David, though chased after by the enemy army, pursued by his son who had learned to hate him, and in the deepest of all debts, turned to God in faith and thanksgiving, and overwhelmed and overcame the enemy. I want to share three very simple thoughts, and in doing so, hopefully teach us all how a season of the soul where we struggle with fear can become a season of the soul where we look to Jesus in faith. First of all, David declares his confidence in the Lord. In these first two verses, David personalizes this set of circumstances. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation and my strength." But notice how he says that. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? This was not a generalization about all God's children. This was a personal thing that David took to himself. He said, "When I am afraid, God is my light. When I am afraid, God is my Savior. He is my strength. He is my protector, my provider." You must see this as a personal relationship with the Lord if you ever escape fear and move toward faith. This is not a general promise for all people. It is a specific promise for those who will lean upon Him. David said, "He's my light, He's my salvation, He's my strength." And oh, he took it personally. And then David said he's not just the person whose light, salvation, and strength. He's the great protector. If you'll notice verses 2 and 3. "When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall." That's a reference to the past. Verse 3, "Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yes, I will be confident." That's a reference to the future. So David is looking at fear from this side and that, from what happened in the past and what may happen in the future. And here's what David is saying: because of God's provision in my past, I can be confident in my future. I have no doubt that he thought about the bear that came into the camp one time and tried to destroy the little lambs. And he took a slingshot and he slayed the bear. And then another time he said, a lion came into the camp and the same outcome. And then that time when he stood before Goliath and he threw the rock into the forehead of Goliath and he fell dead and all of Israel was saved and the Philistines fled. It seems to me that David could look back on the times of his teenage years and say, "God did." And then look forward to the years that were yet to come and say, "God will." And I want to challenge you this morning, because not a one of you could walk out of here and say, "I've never been blessed of God. God's never done me a good work. God's never given me a good thing. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord." And I want to challenge your memory bank. I want you to look back and see how God has been good to you. I want you to see how God has blessed you. I want you to see how God has helped you. I want you to see how God has given you hope when no one else and nothing else provided hope for you. And as you look at your past and realize that then and there the enemy stumbled and fell, I want you to look at your future and recognize that when they camp against you and war against you, you can have confidence in God and need not be afraid. And that's how David pursued this matter of faith and fear. He said, I want to declare my confidence in the Lord. Why is that, David? Because he said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There may be some Goliaths who stand tall and brave against me and against mine, but my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly and beyond all that we would ask or think. I have confidence in the Lord. He said a second thing in this passage. He said, I have a commitment to the Lord. Verse 4 is a very interesting verse. I want to share with you my thought on this. One thing I've asked of the Lord, and I'll seek after it, he said, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David is asking the impossible. And let me tell you why. He's making reference to the temple in Jerusalem that's yet to come, the one that his son Solomon is going to build. He makes reference to the tent that has already been, that will become the temple, the meeting place where God came to dwell with his people. David is from the tribe of Judah. His father's name was Jesse. David could go to the temple, but all David could do was encircle the temple. It was the Levite who could go into the Holy of Holies. It was the Levite who could stand in the holy place and in the presence of Shekinah glory. It was the Levite, the priest, that could see God and his amazing beauty in that holy place. Now, David is a prophet, and I have no doubt David is a prince. And when you read the Psalms, I have no doubt that David is a poet. But here's what I know about David. He was not a priest. David was not a Levite. He was from the tribe of Judah. But David is not looking merely at the here and now. David is the writer of the 23rd Psalm. He's the one that said, when the enemy comes against me, you will prepare a table for me. You'll pour oil on my head. My cup will run over. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And now listen to what he says. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David recognized that this life was nothing more than a rehearsal. This is practice time for that which will become perfect when we're in the glories of God. And David was saying, I may not be able to live in the temple and gaze on his glory now, but I have a heart set for that. I have a mentality for that. I'm not going to let this world get me down, because when I think about being pursued by the enemy, I'm just going to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. When I think about being crushed by those around me, I'm going to think about being exalted by the one above me. When I think about dwelling in caves, I'm going to pretend I'm in the tent. When I think about all of the bad times, I'm going to remember the good times. One of these days, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And church, you think about that this morning, it's not going to get a whole lot better down here. Do you hear me? It's not going to get a whole lot better down here, but it's already a lot better up there. And we are headed home. And as soon as we get there, we're going to look back and say, goodness and mercy walked with us and prepared us to spend every day henceforth and forevermore in the presence of our Lord. David said, I want to make a commitment to him. I want to linger near him. I want to be a worshiper. Even though I can't live physically in the tabernacle, my heart can be there. Even though I can't constantly stay in the Holy of Holies, I can have a relationship with him. I can gaze upon his beauty. Now listen, I've been a dozen or more times into the Judean wilderness, and there's not anything in that wilderness that's beautiful. It's dirt, and when you get through looking at dirt, there's some more dirt to look at. It's hot, and when you get through being hot, it's hotter. There is nothing in the Judean wilderness of beauty. David must have thought, as he sat in those caves, dust storms came, hunger gripped him, thirst gripped him, fear all around him, he kept saying, I remember what it was like to be in the tent, to dwell in the presence of my Lord, to worship and to look upon his beauty. That's the secret. Shut out the noise of this world and hear the voice of God. Shut out the things of this world and look to Jesus. Shut out the negative and look to the positive. Eliminate your concerns about here and now and look forward to a day in the by and by. That's what David did. He made a commitment to the Lord. You know, we take our faith for granted. And what we take for granted, we seldom take seriously. But David did not take his faith for granted. That's all he had. And he held on to faith in an almighty God. Let me share a third thought with you. David declared his comfort was found in the Lord. That's verses 5 and 6. The first thing that he spoke about was the sheltered place. Verse 5, he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. Conceal me under the cover of his tent and lift me high upon a rock. Ancient armies had a way of protecting their captains or their kings. The most important person who traveled with the army, the king of the nation or the captain of that host, he would find his residence in the very center. Around him, all the soldiers would pitch camp. And around all the soldiers, a loose fence would be built to protect even the soldiers on the outskirts. So in order for anyone to get to the king or the captain, they had to break through the fence. They had to go through all the soldiers, and they had to penetrate to the innermost part of the camp where the king or the captain stayed. David says, that's how my life is. And in turn, that's how our lives are. God fences us up with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We're in Christ, and Christ is in us, and we are surrounded by guardian angels who keep us. And for the enemy to penetrate, he must break down the promises of God, the power of God, and the protection of God. He must come all the way through the angels of God and the heavenly host of God to get to where I am and to get to where you are. And that is not about to happen. And so David is giving to us this divine security. There is a place where he will hide me in his shelter in the days of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and he will lift me up and set me on a high rock. He speaks of great shelter. He also speaks of a sacred place in verse 5. He says, this will be a place under the cover of his tent where he will lift me up. What he's saying about this is it's a place. It's a holy place. It's a sacred place. Now, let me give you just a thought. There are places physically where you could be in great, great danger. There are places where you have extreme safety. You have a choice. You can choose the place where your physical body is most of the time. What David is speaking of is spiritually. He's in great danger, hiding from cave to cave to cave. But he says all that is in danger is this physical body. My soul is not in danger, for I am gazing on the beauty of the Lord. And my spirit is not in danger, for I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said, I might be in trouble physically, but I have divine assurance spiritually and emotionally because I'm living in the presence of my God. I'm living in the holy place. Let me challenge you today. Find that holy place. Live in that holy place. Place no confidence in the flesh. Do not fear what the flesh has to say to you or about you. Find that secret place, that sacred place with God. Get alone with Him in the Word, on your knees, in prayer, that quiet time when nothing that goes on around you can disturb what is going on within you. When you are in that sheltered and sacred and secure place, firmly fixed upon the rock in the holy place with God. And he closes by saying, this too is a shouting place. And I love verse 6. He said, my head shall be lifted up. My enemies will be all around me, but I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy and sing and make melody to the Lord. David said, you can shout even when you're not on shouting ground. You can have joy with the Lord even when you are in a position of danger and difficulty. David said, there's something on the outside, but he said, oh, if you've got something on the inside, when what's on the outside presses hard against you, what's on the inside turns its attention to the God of glory, and we shout that all the days of our life are promised in God's presence and in God's provision. I've been to the Colosseum in Rome a couple of times. There's a small wooden sign hanging in one of those doorways. It's very simple, and it said little or nothing to me for a few moments until I thought through it. But here's what it does say. In this arena, ancient Christians died for the faith we take for granted. In ancient days, in this arena, Christians died for the faith we take for granted. We take it for granted. A problem comes up, we panic. In fact, the truth is a lot of us live on Panic Boulevard and Worry Avenue. And we're like the lady that said, if I don't have something to worry about, it worries me. We don't have the kind of faith that the saints of old had. For they entered into fiery furnaces, believing that the fourth man would be in the furnace with them. They laid down in lions' dens, believing that the Son of God would shut the mouths of the lions. They entered into an ark, believing that though the God of glory destroyed the earth, they'd be safe because they had found righteousness in the eyes of the Lord. They stood before the Goliaths of their world, claiming only a slingshot as their weapon, because they knew that the battle was not theirs anyway. They knew the battle was the Lord's. They stood in the face of the fiercest persecution and trial and suffering and proclaimed, if God is for me, who can be against me? They burned them at the stake. They boiled them in hot oil. They beheaded them for saying the name of Jesus. But these martyrs died looking to Jesus, pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and turning what most of us would see as dreaded fear into delightful faith, knowing that they were going home and that all the days of their life they would dwell in the house of the Lord. Are there those things in this life that one could be afraid of? Absolutely. Is there a rescue? Is there a way out? Is there something we ought to be about? David prayed two things in these six verses. Lord, hear me. And Lord, help me. And that is the recipe from turning fear into faith. Lord, hear me. These are my circumstances. And Lord, help me. Put me in the sacred, sheltered, secure, shouting place. Set my feet on the rock and meet with me that I might be a true worshiper. When I'm afraid, I will trust in Him. Let's stand. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we'd really implore you to come today and let one of the pastors pray with you. If you've been saved and you need to follow the Lord in baptism, we invite you to come. If you want to become a part of our church, we'd invite you to come in that way. But if you're struggling in some area of your life where you're just very fearful, where you're concerned and apprehensive about the outcome, we'd just challenge you this morning to come find a praying place. Talk to a pastor or just talk to the Lord and say to the Lord, today, like David of old, I want to be a worshiper. I want to spend my time, if not physically, at least spiritually, I want to be in your presence. I want to behold your beauty. I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. You come as we sing together.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched blood, sighed riches healing up the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yes, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come.
You to watch these video announcements, but don't budge. We have some new members I want to tell you about the moment that the video announcements are over. Watch this.
Good morning. I'm Lisa, and here's a few things for you to know today at Central. Join us this evening as we celebrate the deacon and pastor ordination service at 6:30 p.m. During this service, we'll also come together as a church family to remember our Savior's sacrifice through the Lord's Supper. Next Sunday, we will have a special guest speaker. Help us welcome Dr. David Allen, Dean of the School of Preaching at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth. Dr. Allen has led or been a part of over 400 revivals, Bible conferences, and lecture series. You don't want to miss this next Sunday. The senior adults are heading on a Northern National Parks tour in August of 2018. If you're interested in this exciting tour, plan to attend an informational meeting at 7:30 p.m. tonight in the choir room. You can also visit with Brother Daryl for more information. Also, next year in September, Brother Don and Brother Mike will be leading a trip to the Holy Land. There is an informational meeting for this trip on Sunday, August the 27th at 7:30 p.m. The Red Cross Bloodmobile will be on the Central Campus Wednesday from 1:30 to 5:30. Sign-up information is available at Grand Central Station. Let's all give the gift of life. The annual Central Golf Tournament is coming up on July the 31st. This four-man scramble will be at the Centennial Valley Country Club. If you don't have a team to play on and still would like to play, there is a sign-up sheet for you. We'll do our best to help you find a team. Pick up a brochure at the Welcome Centers today and register by the July 26th deadline. Thanks so much for being here today at Central.
Bart and Nina Dooley, would you come stand in the altar, please? Bart and Miss Nina, who is his mom, and then Jason and Wendy Holm, would you come? Wendy is Bart's sister, and so that's one family there, but they want to come as they do, and they're coming, moving their membership from the Family Life Bible Church here in Conway, with the exception of Jason, who's coming to make his profession of faith and follow the Lord in baptism. Give him a great big Central welcome. We had one other addition in first service this morning, a profession of faith to follow the Lord in baptism. So it's been a great day in the house of the Lord, and it wouldn't have been quite the same had you not been here. So thanks for coming today. You come by and greet these folks who have now become a part of Central as we close this service. Father, thank you for the time that you've spent with us, allowing us to spend time with you. Thank you for the blessings that have come upon us. Thank you for the additions to your church, for the people who have been changed and touched by your power and by your hand today. And in the name of Christ, I pray that we could go from this place this morning overcoming the fear of that which is around us by trusting in the faith of that one which is within us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
time?
5:45.
After a reading schedule program.
Okay.
We give our lives to save.
Friends.